Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, friends. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. And I simply have to say, my friends, fasten your seatbelts. I think I've picked a topic today that eludes us all. It's generally underdiagnosed. When it is diagnosed, you don't take it seriously. And it's one great big silent killer. And I'm going to explain that to you today. And what I'm going to talk about is anemia. Lots of you have been anemic from time to time. You understand, in a sense, that you have to do something about that. But the bottom line is, anemia means your cells do not get oxygen. Now, right there, let's just kick back, calm it down, and take a look at a cell that doesn't have oxygen. A couple of shows ago, we talked about chemistry things. We talked about the Krebs cycle. We talked about the electron transport chain. We talked about adenosine triphosphate, ATP. Big words. You don't have to learn the big words. Just know that everything your body tells your cells to do is driven by oxygen. Everything that your cells have to do, your heart muscles have to contract. Your brain has to think. Your liver has to detox your body. Your kidney has to detox your body. Your stomach and small intestine and pancreas have to digest your food. Every function of every cell is driven by oxygen. No oxygen, and you're asking your cells to put out. You know where you end up? You end up sick, because the cell, in the biology of the cell, it has to shift to other mechanisms. Body's got a million ways to do things. The issue is, not can the body do it with oxygen or not do it without oxygen. That's not the question in anemia. The question is when the body is given a situation where it's got to put out, but it doesn't have oxygen, it figures out ways that are not cost efficient. It robs energy from other systems. It produces free radical side products. It produces acid side products. And all this dip into the reserve, all these toxic side products, all these acids that are produced, ultimately destroy and derange the cell. The derangement of that cell is very fundamental then to what? To the beginning of some sort of symptom or some sort of disease. So when we're done with the show today, gang, I don't want you thinking in terms of, oh, I've got borderline anemia, my doctor told me, and I've always had it, or I only have it after my period, so on and so forth. Do not think this way. If you have anemia, and I'm going to explain all the different types of anemias, so this is going to get a little bit involved. If you have any of these anemias, it means your cells aren't getting oxygen. And if that's the case, you have to fix that today. Now, this is what, in my experience in clinical practice, is missing in the interpretation. So let's kick back for a moment and go into visual reality here. You get your blood work from your doctor. You do your yearly or you do your biannual physical, and you get your blood work and you look at it and you see what's low, what they flag as problematic, okay? Because you don't understand all the other words. You only know what's bad and what's good because that's what they tell you. Normal, abnormal, red flag, no red flag, within range, out of range. That's how the public, and you're the public, that's how you understand this. Well, the fact of the matter is that there's three letters there. H is in Harry, G is in girl, B is in boy. HGB, and that's your hemoglobin. I want to talk to you just for a moment about hemoglobin. Now, one part of hemoglobin is that it's this big molecule. I want you to think of a jellyfish. I want you to think of a jellyfish in the ocean, and it's blobbing around, and it's pulsing, right? Jellyfish can move. They have this pulsing mechanism where they appear to be opening and closing. They gyrate. When the hemoglobin molecule gyrates, it holds iron. Iron, like the iron from spinach, like the iron from meat, like all that iron you know you need. It holds iron in the center of it. So think of this great big jellyfish pulsing with iron in the center of it. Well, when it gets near the lung, this big jellyfish with iron in the center of it pushes the iron out. So oxygen from the lung can bind to it very, very easily. I want you to get that visual. Because after it binds the oxygen, if it's got the iron, this great big jellyfish goes over to the cell and dumps the oxygen off. And then that cell grabs the oxygen and uses it. So hemoglobin, if it has iron in its center, is the transport molecule for oxygen, which it picks up in the lungs and dumps off to the cell of its choice. It's that simple. Now, when you see you have a hemoglobin deficiency, it means that it didn't have iron in it, therefore the molecule could not structure itself. Because the body gives it everything else it needs. But when you see you have low hemoglobin, it means that that pulsing jellyfish that transports the oxygen didn't get its iron. So there is no jellyfish, so there is no oxygen transport system. You can't pick it up in the lung, and you can't dump it off in your cell because you didn't have iron. That's what we call iron deficiency anemia. It's one type of anemia. We're going to get into what that really means to you and your health. And again, you already know what it means to your health. This hemoglobin molecule, this jellyfish with iron in the center, can't transport oxygen because there is no molecule, because you can't have it unless you have iron in the center. Now I'm going to make it a little more complicated. This hemoglobin molecule, this big jellyfish with iron in the center and oxygen on it, hopefully, sits in your red blood cell. So where is the hemoglobin molecule? Where is the jellyfish? It's sitting in a bigger compound called the red blood cell. So we look at your red blood cells and we see if your red blood cells have the hemoglobin molecule. And if you don't have iron, there is no hemoglobin molecule, and we tell you, you are hemoglobin deficient. That's what low hemoglobin means. But the implication now, as you know, is that often you're iron deficient, so there's no molecule, and you have no oxygen transport. I could say it a million, I could do the whole show just repeating myself, and half the people still wouldn't get it through their head. Why do I say that? Because for years now, I watch people running around, and they've been anemic their entire life, and nobody tells them what that means. And that's just one of the anomalies or curiosities of science, where something is so darn obvious. If you just think about it, common sense dictates that no oxygen or low oxygen to the cell causes all sorts of byproducts, stresses the cell, and that always leads to problems. And those problems lead to bigger problems. So I just want you to kick back and take a look at this in a different way. Think of what you know from my 40 shows. And if this is your first time on the show and you're listening on radio, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That's 2Ts.cc, not .com, and listen to the other shows. But the point, guys, is this. The point is that let's just say you assay or you add up a person's lifestyles from what you know in the show. And they're protein deficient because they just eat vegetables. And they're insomniacs. And they're not flexible. And they're iron deficient anemic. And so on and so forth. And they're exposed to a lot of radiation. And all of a sudden you've got this profile where each problem in and of itself, oh, I'm just an insomniac. I don't sleep that well. I need an extra 2 hours, but what the heck? Who's telling you? oh, I'm protein deficient because I don't like to eat red meat, or I don't eat meat and I just think I can get all my 70 or 80 grams of amino acid a day, complete proteins from foods, from vegetables. The point is, anemia is one of those things that just slips under the rug. It's a big, big, big deal. Okay, I may not say it again. Now, the iron in your blood is suggestive of a much bigger issue. And that is, or is your blood rich or is your blood deficient? So the richness or quality of the blood, the iron, is just one component of. We're going to come back to this a little bit later, but whether you're blood deficient or in excess in your blood is another principle I want to weave into this program today. So to backtrack, you're iron deficient anemic. Your hemoglobin is low. That's one type of anemia. Now, functionally, and this is the catch, if your hemoglobin is borderline low, here's another big point. It'll tell you you're normal. It'll tell you that you're just almost anemic, but not quite, so don't worry about it. It doesn't even flag. So if your number's 12, you're still anemic. If your number's 12.5, you're still anemic. You may be anemic at 13. And here's the reason, guys. When you step on the gas, say the day you work out, or when you start, ladies, going through your menstrual cycle and you start bleeding, all of a sudden that 12, which is normal, doesn't cut it. So now I'm going to introduce another word, functional anemia. You may be functionally anemic. So your numbers may be good, but you're functionally anemic. You see, when you do a blood test, and let's get this one straight forever now. When you do a blood test, that's like going to a movie, and it's a two-hour movie. And you watch 5 minutes of that two-hour movie, and you just watch it every 40 minutes, every 30 minutes. And so you spend 5 minutes seeing a movie that's 2 hours, but you took it in five frames. Did you watch the movie? Would you say you understood? Would you say you got the picture because you took five frames? That's what we do when we do blood tests. That's what we do when we do blood tests. They are gross overviews. And this thing with anemia is classic. It's a classic example of what I'm talking about. So if your number's 12 or 12.5 or even 13, you may be functionally anemic. Now, how do you know? Well, there's another test that's supposed to be run. And this is my biggest problem with these anemia panels. They don't test ferritin, serum ferritin. Again, what is ferritin? Ferritin is stored iron. Ferritin is the iron your liver stores in case you need to dip into your reserves. See, the body figures this out. And once again, where do we store this iron? In the liver. So you understand so far, if you've listened to these shows, the liver is the organ of detox. Great. But it's got about 1,400 functions. It does many, many, many things. And one thing the liver does is it stores things. It stores your vitamin A. It stores your vitamin E. It stores your fats. It stores amino acids. It's on a direct shunt from your intestinal tract. So everything you digest goes up to the liver, and the liver appropriates it. The liver sends it out into the blood at its discretion. So it's a big storage center. That's why on the Discovery Channel, when the mountain lion eats the gazelle or the deer, the first thing it rips out and swallows is what? The liver. The liver is blood rich. The liver is rich in blood. It's rich in nutrients. The question for you is your blood rich? Not just iron rich, but rich in other things. And I'll come back to this a little bit later. But the point now is this. The liver stores the iron in the form of ferritin. When you get an anemia panel, when they give you a blood work, a CBC, a complete blood count, they need to include serum ferritin. And when your ferritin is 20 or 30 and not 150, this is no good. You can't be running around with very low ferritin, because I'll tell you, I've seen many, 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 many cases where They're told your hemoglobin is fine, and yet the ferritin is low. And I can guarantee you people have the same symptoms of full-blown anemia. Only it's intermittent all of a sudden one day. This is so classic. So I really want you to get this clinical picture here. One day you're fine. You're out there playing tennis. You get all the energy in the world. 2 days later, you can't stand up. Up and down and up and down. That's functional anemia. You're borderline anemic, but the number could be as high as 12.5, even 13. So you are never told. So you never suspect. And since there's so many causes of fatigue, I mean, it could be a million things that make a person tired or lightheaded or dizzy or so on and so forth. So once the blood test doesn't flag it, nobody thinks that way. And that's because, again, you didn't get your serum ferritin measured. All right, we'll stop there because I'm going to go to another type of anemia. And that other type of anemia is aplastic anemia. It's called aplastic anemia. So let's get to another measurement on the panel. The other measurement is your red blood cells are low. Now, what we were saying before is hemoglobin is this big molecule that pulses. It holds iron in its center. That's part of the hemoglobin molecule. If it doesn't have iron, there is no molecule, so there's no oxygen transport. That's iron deficiency anemia. But this hemoglobin molecule is piggybacking on the back of the red blood cell. It's bound into the red blood cell. Now, that connection into the red blood cell means something else has to be measured, and that is how many red blood cells do you make? So let's look at this reverse. Let's just say you've got all the iron in the world, therefore you've got all the tools to build the hemoglobin molecule. You've got all these hemoglobin molecules standing around ready to pick up oxygen and transport it, but there's no red blood cell to attach it to. There's no red blood cell for the hemoglobin to piggyback on. Well, that's called aplastic anemia. A as an apple, plastic anemia. It's low red blood cells. Now, aplastic anemia often means low red blood cells, low white blood cells, and low platelets. This brings us to another little twist here that I want you to understand. So first of all, let's backtrack. The bone marrow makes your red and white blood cells. Your bone marrow makes your platelets. Your bone marrow has your stem cells in it. So this other kind of anemia, aplastic anemia, I'm going to detour just a little bit to talk about bone marrow. And again, aplastic anemia is when you don't have enough red blood cells because something's going on in your bone marrow. You're not making enough. Or your red blood cells are being destroyed really fast by some sort of a parasite or some bacteria, or your spleen is killing them or something like that. So let's look at the bone marrow. Now, the bone marrow is fat. And there's an interesting thing in human health and the word fat. Counterintuitive is this: when you don't have enough fat, especially in industrial society, you have a potential problem. And that potential problem, when you don't have enough fat on your body, is that any poison that gets into your blood that can't get out your liver because you didn't do those gallbladder flushes and didn't get out your kidney because your kidneys aren't functioning optimally. They're too much kidney sand, too much grit. You didn't do your cleanses. When you have something toxic in the blood, like a metal, and you didn't flush the gallbladder, and you've got too much sand in your kidney, the body has to protect itself. The body has to protect itself from that poison in the blood, and so it sends it to the fat center, which is the bone marrow. Lots of those poisons that kill you, lots of those carcinogens that create cancer, are all fat-soluble poisons. All your pesticides, all your benzene-derived carcinogens, your metals, all of them, they're fat soluble. They bind into the fat centers. Now, if you don't have fat on your body and you have to protect your organs, the brain says, stuff it in the bone marrow. So the bone marrow has a way of getting grossly toxic. especially when people don't have fat reserves. And once it gets toxic, it interferes then with the production of red and white and platelets. Red blood cell counts can go down because the bone marrow is not functioning optimally. And this is its own set of problems. This can be the precursor to leukemia, to dysplasias in the bone marrow, myelofibrosis, where the bone marrow just scars up and stops making red and white blood cells. So if your red blood cell count is low, you have another type of anemia. It's more along the lines of what we call an aplastic anemia. And we've got to step that up, too, in terms of what we need to do. And this is so important, all the way into different categories in holistic medicine. We have systems in the martial arts, systems in Qigong, systems in Kung Fu, systems in Karate, systems throughout the world that respect that the bone marrow has to be stimulated so it moves its fats through its core and it detoxes. Detox into the bone marrow is a big deal. And there are stories that I've put together. I've seen things in clinical practice where people have come in with aplastic anemias, and after a year or two, they start throwing off the garbage inside their bone marrow, and they go into these horrendous detoxes with rashes and lumps coming out their skin. And this may go on for months. And if you look at their red blood cells under the dark field microscope, you'll see those cells changing shape. You'll see the red blood cells start to look more vibrant and healthy underneath the microscope. So there really is, there's this connection between the number of red blood cells you make, the viability of your blood based on the number of red blood cells, the lack of which is anemia. The lack of which means you may have all the hemoglobin, but now you've got no red blood cells to drop the oxygen. There's a heavy relationship between the viability of your bone marrow to produce red blood cells, let alone white and platelets, stem cells, and your health. So we have that second type of anemia then, and we'll talk about what to do about it. Third type is pernicious anemia. In pernicious anemia, by the time a person's 50, 60 years old, their stomach is not making intrinsic factor. Intrinsic factor is made in the stomach, and it helps bind up B12, so vitamin B12, from red animal protein, from eggs, from shellfish, from dairy. Very difficult to get as a vegetarian, as a vegan. And there's a test to see if you have pernicious anemia, which is basically B12 deficiency. And B12 is, now this is where Western medicine now, so catch this, is calling something an anemia that's not about red blood cells, that's not about lack of iron and hemoglobin. They still call it an anemia. B12 deficiency is an anemia. It's pernicious anemia. Why do they use that word if it's not iron or hemoglobin or red blood cells? Because anemia means something bigger. Anemia means the blood is deficient. We'll go back to pernicious anemia, but I just want to stop for a second and give you a sense of the fact that systems of medicine, so from Chinese medicine to Ayurvedic medicine to old European medicine to American Indian medicine to South American medicine to medical perspectives all over the world from the beginning of time have always looked at the quality of the blood. And they've always looked for signs in symptoms and in people's faces, in people's tongues, to determine whether or not their blood is deficient, to determine whether or not they have some sort of deficiency in the blood leading to symptomology and potentially disease. And so this issue about the quality of the blood is a big deal, thus the word anemia. So even in allopathy, in Western medicine, we have anemias of a multitude of types that aren't what you first think about when you use the word anemia. And here's an example, pernicious anemia. So again, after the age of 60, you've got to get your B12 tested. If you're a vegetarian or a vegan, you get your B12 tested. And yes, the smart vegetarians claim there's wonderful ways to get their B12. The fact of the matter is I don't see it happen a lot. And that's because, one, people don't make intrinsic factor over the age of 60, and their B12 requirements go way up. Intrinsic factor helps bind the B12 so you can absorb it. So one solution is dose the B12 in heavy. Because if you take the normal amount, if you're foolish enough to take the RDA, if you're taking twice the RDA, but the intrinsic factor dips, then even with twice or three times or four times the amount of B12, you're not going to get enough B12 into your body. And that means your blood's deficient with B12, and B12 does a million things in the body, just like iron does a million things in the body. So there's a test called the Schilling test, S-C-H-I-L-L-I-N-G test. If you're over the age of 60, get a Schilling test. Or they just might tell you, we're going to measure the amount of available, viable, usable B12 in your blood. And they can do that too. And that's important. And we'll get into all the little nuances about food and B12 deficiency, so on and so forth. So we're going to go back and talk about what to do about iron deficiency, aplastic anemia, pernicious anemia. But there's one little caveat here I want to get into, and that is when you have anemias, lots of people get them, where the hemoglobin will be low or the RBCs will be low, and nobody ever finds out the cause. Because sometimes it's tough to find the cause of anemia. So here's a couple of things you got to think in terms of. First, we start with the ladies. Ladies first, always. The menstrual cycle. If you're bleeding too much, meaning what's too much? Enough to make you tired. If you're bleeding too much, what's too much? Enough so that you get headaches, you get dizzy, you get tired, you get blurred vision, you get mood swings. If you're bleeding generally more than 4 days. If you're one of those women that's bleeding heavy for 3 days, you know you're anemic. But then you catch up, don't you? By the middle of your cycle, you've caught up. If you get your blood work done by the middle of the cycle, then you're normal. Wrong. You're not. One, you have to back that up with ferritin. Number two, if your ferritin's low and you're fatigued, even if your hemoglobin's normal, you're anemic and you've got to fix that. So the menstrual cycle, I could do a whole show on the menstrual cycle. So I just want to hint, ladies, now, if you're tired around your period, you're anemic. You have to fix that. That's a whole show in and of itself. Bleeding too much represents hormonal imbalance. It represents anemia. It's a cycle. When you get anemic, you're going to bleed too much. How's that for something crazy? You're normal. You're not anemic. You start bleeding too much for a multitude of reasons. Your progesterone drops and you're 45 years old and you've had 6 kids. So you start bleeding too much. Now you become anemic. Once you're anemic, you bleed too much. It's complicated. It's a different show. But the fact of the matter is, one, off this show on anemia, you're taking it seriously, more seriously than you've ever done in your life. And if you're tired before, during, or after the period, I want a CBC run. I want you to look at your hemoglobin, the number of RBCs, and I want serum ferritin run. And this has to get fixed until we can be assured you are not blood deficient, ladies. Because the faster you, or I should say, the more blood deficient you are, the faster you age. Two things age a woman: having children and a menses that's too long. Women lose blood. That's how they age. When you lose blood, the bone has to support the lost blood. Your body draws on bone for the minerals. So what always is a female's worst complaint after the age of 50, 55? I'm losing bone. I'm osteoporotic. Of course you are. You've spent the first 50 years of your life losing blood. Blood deficiency. Easy to understand, isn't it? Fascinating. All slips under the rug. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. After 50 years of losing blood every single month and too much blood, you have an issue. Now, if you're bleeding too little, How about that? You don't get your period. Or in fact, you get your period, but you only bleed a day or two. You don't have enough blood. That's anemia also. That's blood deficiency. So ladies, too much blood, too little blood. Either way, something to look into. Symptoms around your period, either way, something to look into. In fact, PMS is, in a sense, blood deficiency. Bad menstrual cycles, painful menstrual cycles. Yeah, we can stretch that into liver issues, hormonal imbalances, but no matter which way you cut it, whether your blood is clotted, whether your blood is deficient, whether your blood is hot and excess, that's all a perception of the quality of the blood, and an imbalance or a deficit in the quality of the blood is an anemia. And here's one that's just common sense. You're anemic, you know it, the blood test shows you, and you see blood in your stool. 9 times out of 10, blood in your stool is simply hemorrhoids or ulcerative colitis or some lesion in the large intestine. 99% of the time, it's not life-threatening. Rarely is it cancer. Always should you have it figured out fast. But you already know that. That's common sense. Somebody looks at the feces after a bowel movement. They see blood, red blood. Now we're talking red, hot blood. You see red blood, 9 times out of 10, you know what it is immediately. It's hemorrhoids or it's some other thing that you've had before. Always people know to get this diagnosed. So I don't need to get into that. Here's one, though, that you elude, that you miss. And that is if the feces, if the stool becomes very dark, like brown, black, or black. When you see a change in the color of the stool 2, 3, 4 times, that's called melena, M-E-L-E-N-A. Melena, which is black stool or dark brown stool. Melena is an indication that you're bleeding up high in the gastrointestinal tract. And what does that are ulcers. What does that is Crohn's disease. What does that is a duodenal ulcer. And yeah, in fact, what does that sometimes is a cancer. Not often. Don't be alarmed. 99% of the time, it's nothing serious. But the bottom line is that any time you see a black stool, you start thinking in terms of there's blood in my stool high up in the GI tract. And lots of people know this, but lots of people don't know this. So that's another form of bleeding that causes anemias. A bleeding ulcer will cause an anemia. We've even diagnosed brain problems from anemias. Sometimes people will bleed into the brain and they'll just be dizzy. They'll get a headache once a week, but they'll be chronically anemic, and it will just reflect a head trauma that happened 6 months ago. And they've been bleeding slowly after the CT scan showed that they were normal. And this is how important this concept is of looking at the stool. Now, let's get to what to do about things. I want to clear something up with the vegetarians and the word iron. The vegetarians will not eat meat, and that may really work for them. No arguments here. We're never going to preach in terms of dogma. It's wrong to do dogma. But to the vegetarian people, if you're listening to the show and you're just not going to eat red meat for your B12, you're not going to eat eggs for your B12, you're not going to eat red meat for your iron, you're going to stick to vegetarian fare. I want to introduce to you and everybody else the emulsion concept. Let's break this down. It's fascinating. When you say that prunes, cherries, beets, spinach are great sources of iron, and they may be good sources of iron. They're not great sources of iron, but they're good sources of iron. You have to understand that the cherry, which has a glycemic index of like 20, it's a very, very good food because of the fiber in the cherry. Because the cherry has so much fiber, it dumps its sugars very slowly into your blood. So it's a great low glycemic food. You won't get that blood sugar spike when you eat a bunch of cherries. But that fiber, in that it may even help with your bowels, it keeps the sugar leaking into the blood slowly. That fiber in the cherry, or the fiber in the beet, or the fiber in the prune, or the fiber in the spinach, that fiber has a downside to it. And the downside to it is what? It binds up the iron. You don't get the iron. This is a nonsense mentality. Eat your spinach. You're eating a spinach salad. You're eating your beets. You're eating your cherries. They may have iron. That doesn't mean you get the iron. Those are three very high fiber foods. And the fiber traps the iron. I've tried this so many times in practice, trying to move people's hemoglobin, to move their iron to that higher level. And I watch people fail at this all the time. Now, there's a concept, and I want you to understand it. It's called the emulsion concept. It means that if you took that beet, and let's say you soaked that beet in vinegar, and you soaked it in vinegar for 24 hours, and then you mashed that beet, because the vinegar basically fermented the beet, broke it up, the vinegar digested the beet for you, that it would break down the fiber. And if you ate that once fibrous beet, after fermenting the beet for 24 hours in vinegar, making it sweet then, well, then you emulsified, you broke up into tiny little particles, all the fiber, and now you can get the benefit of the iron. This is like beet juice, right? Wrong. This is not beet juice. Why isn't it like beet juice? I'll tell you why. Because most of the juicers you use separate the fiber from the juice. And what's in that fiber? The very iron that you wanted. And believe me, beets don't have enough iron to spare. Neither do cherries, neither do prunes, neither do spinach. Certainly, if you're eating a raw beet or a lightly steamed beet, or you're doing beet juice, but you're pushing out all the fiber, you're making a boo-boo. This is where I want to introduce the emulsion concept. The emulsion concept takes advantage of your understanding that the fiber will hold the iron so you don't get it. And so what you're going to do is emulsify prunes. You're going to emulsify cherries. You're going to emulsify beets. You're going to emulsify spinach. And there's different emulsification techniques. With beets, you take the beet, two beets, three beets. You cut it into little steak fry pieces. You put it in vinegar. You soak the beet in the vinegar for a day. You get a good organic vinegar. Simple. Inexpensive. You soak it for 24 hours. The beet gets soft. It gets really sweet. You mush it up. You eat that beet. You mix it into some other sort of a cooked vegetable, and you eat that beet. You're going to get the iron. You're going to get almost all the iron the beet has because you broke down the fiber. Now, let's say you take a cherry. Let's say you take spinach. Let's say you take a raw, hard, crunchy beet. And you put it in a certain type of a juicer. So I'm going to start to distinguish now between juices for you guys. Not the Jack LaLanne juicer, God bless him. Great man. But not the Champion juicer, not the Jack LaLanne juicer. Not these centrifugal juicers that don't have gears, that basically spin the food around at super high speeds, separate out the fiber, which you dump into the garbage, and then you eat the juice. You don't do that. All it's going to do is make sure that the fiber, which is holding 20, 30%, 40% of the nutrition for you, you never get. Now, there are other juicers. One of them is called CellTech, C-E-L-L-T-E-C-H, CellTech. And the CellTech juicer, like the Norwalk juicer, is an emulsifier. It crushes the food. It crushes the beet. It crushes the cherry slowly with gears all the way to the point where it breaks it up into juice spinach juice, cherry juice, beet juice. It breaks it up all the way until the fiber is crushed under low heat, high pressure, low heat, crushed almost into liquid. So it emulsifies the fiber so many times that you can get the nutrition. So if you're going to get your vitamin B12, if you're going to get your iron from vegetarian fare, and vegetarian fare, prunes, cherries, beets, barley, oat, wheatgrass, spinach, molasses, if you're going to get it from that kind of food and the food's got fiber, use an emulsifying juicer or ferment your beets. Now, prunes, which are another great source, need to be soaked. You could even soak your cherries, but that's not as groovy. But you can soak your prunes. You take a filtered warm water and you soak the prune until the prune blows up with the water. What does that do? It starts to texture. Okay? It's like a fig. Whatever you want from a fig, do you want the dried fig or do you want the fresh fig? That's right. You want the fresh fig because the fresh fig, the fiber is easier to break down. So a prune, well, we're all into dried prunes. That's how we do prunes. We dry them. So that's fine. But what you do with a prune then is you soak the prune. If you were to soak the prune, and then really then you just break up the prune in a juicer. Now you've got prune juice. Now you've got your iron. Now you've got diarrhea if you're not careful. So be careful with prunes and cherries and things like this. You got the concept. It's called the emulsion concept. Not understanding this has destroyed so many of the raw diet, vegetarian, vegan diets. I just wanted to take a moment then. Now, lots of you, and this is the case, lots of you, especially if you're O blood, are not going to be able to stop or prevent your anemia on a vegetarian diet. You're not going to be able to do it. O bloods need meat. I will go down on record saying that. It's difficult. It's hard. Sometimes it's impossible. And the guy that showed this was John D'Adamo. Eat right for your blood type. His son Peter wrote the book, but John was the authority behind his son Peter. John's still alive, I think, somewhere in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, still in practice. He's in his upper 90s. And based on thousands and thousands of clinical experiences, he published, or he asked his son to publish. He accumulated the information. And the bottom line is this. O bloods do not pull the iron. They don't metabolize the plant protein as well as other blood types. O bloods don't do well without animal protein. And this is, you experience this in clinical practice. The first question I'll ask, I'm not attached to any concept. I simply ask people who are anemic or functionally anemic, borderline anemic, very anemic, what's your blood type? And so often do I hear, I'm an O blood. Now I've been around long enough to try to help these people through vegetarian means, emulsifying, all these high-end vegetarian, vegan, you know, the educated vegetarian, the educated vegan. And I don't see very, very often their hemoglobin or their RBC counts increase. And so something's wrong with this concept for O bloods, at least, and other people too. No two ways about it. Just think about it. It's kind of common sense. If in Alaska, it's up there in Alaska now, if in 200 years from now, or if 200 years ago, an Eskimo moved down to the Southland because he could make more money, get an education, he got a scholarship, sprouted a family, and it's 100 or 150, 200 years later, or 200 years from now, and what evolved up in Alaska for thousands and thousands of years is now down in sunny Southern California, decides to go vegetarian against how many hundreds and hundreds of years of eating animal protein. Is he going to do well as a vegetarian? Does that make sense to you? We have tribes of people all over the world that for thousands of years have raised animals, have loved animals, have sacrificed animals in the name of God with right and proper intention. And they're not vegetarian. They're not made to be. So you got to understand that this thing about anemia, and you can do it with plant and vegetable. If it works for you, fantastic. But if it doesn't work for you, or if you're just stuck in your head on this concept that you should be able to get yourself. I know lots of vegetarians that live with anemia. They're into health food. They're health fanatics. They do all the right things. And they're running around anemic. This is the nonsense that I'm trying to address. So without being too dogmatic, if you're an O blood, beware. If you're anemic and you're a vegetarian or a vegan, don't be. It's not worth what it's costing you. Meat. Meat is the answer for many people. Organic, grass-fed, no antibiotics, no hormones. You've heard it before. Very simple. Done rare. Now, don't do the meat well done. And still, we have people. Yes, I know I need to eat meat. So I go out and I have my steak, medium well, well done. I don't even use digestive enzymes because I'm on the run. And gee, I can't understand why you're not, and why I'm still anemic. My doctor told me to eat more meat. We're not digesting. That should be self-evident for the people that listen to this show. If you haven't listened to this show before, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is StraightTalk.cc. You're listening to the segment on anemia. Just want to take a quick second here to talk to you about my school, because we met last Sunday, and if you guys from the school are listening, you don't know how happy you just made me. You really did. I really think, and I'm talking now to the whole audience, I really think that the American public is starting to understand that there's a better model in healthcare. If you see a doctor for supervision, get involved in your education. I realized off two classes, this is the third class we had last Sunday. We've had a good 18 hours of class time since November 20th. 18 hours. That takes me a year and a half, almost 2 years of my time, of your time, if you do it doctor-patient across the desk. And I think as a supplement, at least as a supplement, to seeing a doctor, to seeing a holistic doctor, you should come to the center to learn. And if you're not sick, or you are symptomatic, how are you really going to navigate that storm without the education? And the idea that you can't get informed is nonsense. It's nonsense, and we're proving it. And now I am talking to my class. I looked into your faces, and I saw your eyes light up, and I know you're getting the point. 12 times in my school for 1 year, all right? And you will have enough tools to navigate yourself to a much higher consciousness in your personal health. And if you're sick, you'll learn so many things, so many fundamental things that you can add. We just have to get you on the other side of the dogma. People think that it's only about the specific remedy for them. And for as much as this is a percentage of it, there's huge percentages of it that are common for all people. Does anyone not need to sleep? Can anybody afford to be anemic? Can anybody afford not to be flexible? Can anybody afford not to flush their gallbladder? Can anybody afford not to have the right ecosystem in their large intestine? Can anybody not afford to flush the sand out of their kidneys? Can anybody afford not to understand how to navigate themselves with food? And I could go on and on and on and on and on. Now, the cost-effective way to get that is with education. So if you're new to the show, sign up for the school. We'll get back to you within 24 hours to 48 hours. We'll start our third class at the time. We've got two classes running now. We're looking to start our third class. We've had everybody down 2 to 3 times. I really think we're delivering. StraightTalk.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. That's my little public service announcement, and let's get on with it. Organic grass-fed bison. There's lots of farmers markets that sell that. Australian rack of lamb, New Zealand rack of lamb. If you can get a clean animal liver, even good old steak, done rare. Don't do it well done. It's not going to get into your system. Simple, easy, safe, not to be argued. Make a better argument for clean meat today than we can for clean fish. Now, I want to take a moment to talk about emergency anemia. Emergency anemia, where you're bleeding. Say during menopause, you bleed out, you need a transfusion, or you're going to get a transfusion and you don't want a transfusion. You'll go to your medical doctor because you're scared, and that medical doctor will say, take rock iron, take ferrous gluconate, go to the drugstore and get the iron and start scarfing it down because your hemoglobin is down to 8, and if it gets any lower, you're going to pass out. If it gets any lower, you're going to need an emergency transfusion. If it gets any lower, you're going to get driven to the hospital in an ambulance. And they're right. And for acute problems, listen to your medical doctor. That's right. Don't go holistic when you have emergencies. That is my advice to you. It's the chronic issue where you go holistic. But the acute one, that's what emergency medicine's for. So if we can just flood the body with massive amounts of iron, do so. So you save yourself a trip to the hospital. And there's lots of reasons that this can be the case. But long term, to bring your iron up gradually over a period of 3 months, 6 months, 9 months with rock iron, with pharmaceutical iron, that's nonsense. Now, you know, we can prove that, but we can't really prove it. One reason is if you take a pharmaceutical iron, and if you do, my recommendation is Feosol, F-E-O-S-O-L, Feosol, because you won't constipate. Some of your better hematologists will recommend this. Others have never heard of it. But one of the big problems with rock iron is that it constipates, so it creates a secondary issue. Feosol doesn't constipate. So if you have an emergency, if your hematologist or your internist recommends an iron, ask them if Feosol, F-E-O-S-O-L, if they would recommend Feosol, and either way, get that one. It's a better one, but it's still rock iron. What does that mean? If you want iron, which is a mineral, you can go to find it in a rock. Rocks are cheap. You can import rocks by hundreds of tons. Just pulverize the rock, subject it to some sort of electrophoretic system, and pull out the iron and throw that into a capsule, and there you have rock iron. You know, the hemoglobin molecule might bind the iron, so your hemoglobin will go up. That's true. So the numbers support that rock iron works. And you know what? Your symptoms will improve. They do improve. So clinically speaking, rock iron, it's got to work on some level. Hate to tell the holistic people. But the bottom line is there's other ways to look at the atom, other ways to look at the molecule. And in other forms of medicine, which not enough people really respect, in other forms of medicine, little quirky things about the differences in molecules can make a big difference. All the way to electron spin. All the way to how the molecule refracts light. All sorts of ethereal, more subtle, more biophysical perceptions of chemistry that may elude gross clinical observation. Meaning, we don't see the difference when we look at people if they have acute anemia and we bring their hemoglobin into a better range and their symptoms improve. We don't see the difference between doing that with rock iron, with Feosol, or doing that with meat. You see? But this is the future of medicine we're suggesting to you now. And that is that if you stick to nature, there's going to be a resonance to the chemistry that we're not measuring in normal biochemical assay. So bottom line is if you can manage your blood with God's food, do so. I think that hits a chord in all of us where it just hits the cellular intelligence of us. And that's where the common sense lives. And that's valid. And stick to that. That's my advice to you. A few minutes left to just talk about vitamin B12. Vitamin B12, my advice to you, if you can get it from a supplement form derived from a natural source, our B12ND is a fantastic example of that. Get your B12 from that. The B12ND, I think is a isn't it, it really is a beyond the leading edge technology. Or eat the yolk of an egg, or get it from rare animal protein, rare lamb, or your dairy, your raw dairy, if you can get a clean source. Just make sure after the age of 60 that you get it measured. You have to get it measured like you get your hemoglobin measured. So when people over the age of 60 are getting their CBCs and their yearly physicals and they're not having their B12 measured, this is nonsense. This has to change. Your aplastic anemia is where you're not making enough red blood cells. Let me drop a clinical pearl onto you. If you're not making enough red blood cells and you're not making enough white blood cells, if you're short both red and white blood cells, you're protein deficient. I have seen this so many times. It's almost pathognomonic, meaning if I see low RBCs, if I see low white blood cells, the first thing I look to, unless the person is sick, meaning their bone marrow is scarred and just fibrosed, other than someone that's sick, when I see a fairly healthy person with low RBCs, thus anemia, and low WBCs, thus low immunity, poor immunity, when I see that, the first place I look, of course, is protein deficiency. And protein deficiency can mean many things, from poor source to poor absorption to some parasite to so on and so forth. But as far as the aplastic anemia is, low red blood cell, if it's with low white blood cell, look to better sources of protein. That's number one. If in aplastic anemia, you just have a low red blood cell, that's a different sort of an issue. And very often, a low red blood cell count simply means, now check this out, this is tricky, a low red blood cell count often means that your white blood cells are being overproduced. That your white blood cells are being overproduced. And they may be overproduced simply because you've got an immunity issue, some sort of infection. As always, there's not enough time. Sign up on the website for the school, straighttalk.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week. Ciao.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.